Live on a remarkable day in Boston, Massachusetts, here in the studios of WGBH Boston Public Radio. We are all struggling to grasp what has happened here. Is this an act of ideologically motivated nationalists? Think about it. But these brothers, Tamerlane Tsarnaev, now dead, and brother Chokar Tsarnaev, still at large, lived in the U.S. long enough for this to be, on some level, considered an incident of homegrown terrorism. Homegrown violence, although with a radically different context than we saw in the Oklahoma City bombing with militia bomber Timothy McVeigh. This is perhaps a scenario of violence unimagined in America until this day. It is known that these boys grew up in a time of violence in their native land. We've already discussed that, repression by Russian authorities. But what could have happened during their time in the United States? Two windows now. Joining us, Larry Aronson, a retired social studies teacher at Cambridge Latin School, where Boston bombing suspect Chokar Tsarnaev went to high school. He joins us from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Larry, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
And can you give us any sense of, first of all, your contact with Chokar Tsarnaev, and any sense of what might have led him to this?
I don't know. I'm a retired teacher since 2007, but I've been a photographer at the school and very involved in many school activities and covering many school activities and volunteering in many student activities. So I'm around there all the time. And I took lots of pictures of Jahar, as we called him, the youngest of the brothers, the two brothers, as a wrestler and just as an all-around student. And it turns out he lived right two houses away from my condo, right? So, which I discovered sometime last year. We had a couple of interactions. But in all and as I've been saying this over and over again, you know, I'm the guy that you go to after the perpetrator has been found, and you go ask people, give us a little background, and I'm the one that says, with all my heart, I believe this to be true. There's nothing that I know about this kid that would explain any of this behavior. He couldn't have been more outgoing, sociable, reliable, dependable, good student, honor student. I think he had got some financial aid to go to engineering school. There's just nothing about him, a bitterness or detachment or anything, a disassociation that would indicate any of this. You know, he was involved with wrestling and with just student life and happy and active participant. And I did have a conversation with him about when I tried to understand his name and where he was from, and as a history teacher, when he said Chechnya, of course I inquired about, you know, what's his narrative? What's your narrative? Do you remember? He shared very little. He remembered very little, you know. But what he emphasized to me every time we talked was that, you know, it's a new world. It's a new life. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so thankful to be here, you know. And he was just a very active participant in, you know, teen life at the high school. There was nothing whatsoever. And even last night, as I've told everybody, as the optics of this became clearer and clearer, and his face became more recognizable at about 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, I said, my God, that looks like Darhar. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I never knew how to pronounce his name. I said, there's no way it could be him. There's just no way it could be him. And the last thing I'm going to go do is, you know, try to, this wonderful kid who I care about, you know, put all the police chasing him like they chased the Saudi kid, you know, who ran away with pants on fire or whatever, and went to his house in Revere and did all this kind of stuff. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. None of it makes any sense to me. And
well, those impressions, Larry, certainly adding to our sense of vulnerability and mystery about all of this. Larry Aronson, a retired social studies teacher at Cambridge Ridge and Latin School, where Boston bomber Chokar Tsarnaev went to high school. And now, what about Tamerlane Tsarnaev, who is dead, killed in the shooting overnight? Joining us now with insights there, Anna Sale, reporter for WNYC Radio. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, John.
So we understand that Tamerlane had a son, and the mother of that son had a roommate who you've managed to contact and speak with to talk about what has transpired. Tell us about it.
Well, here's what I know. I I know that I spoke to a woman who said her roommate, her freshman roommate at Suffolk University, dated Tamerlan. And the last time they spoke in 2011, her roommate told her that she'd had a daughter with Tamerlan, they'd gotten married at City Hall, and that she was considering changing her name to a Russian or Muslim name. So I'm not sure if this is the three-year-old daughter that has been reported elsewhere, but this roommate said that her former roommate, who they've lost touch, she tries to reach her now, and she gets a full voicemail, but she had a relationship with Tamerlan. And she describes him as the kind of guy you don't want your friend dating. She doesn't describe him as reclusive or alienated from American society. They met them. They called them the group of Russians. They were freshmen. They were in Boston. They met these guys, and Tamerlan would take them out to bars, to the Underbar in Boston. He had a nice car. He would buy them drinks. He would pay for things. And her roommate started dating him. But she did describe him as an intense guy. She said he was wicked intense. She described him as having this air of power among his group of friends. He was the one in control. He was charismatic but controlling, she described. And eventually, not the kind of guy she wanted to be hanging out with. She stops hanging out with the group of Russians. Her roommate continues dating him, and they grow apart.
And again, we don't know what contact they may have had, but you are referring to reports from the neighborhood, Norfolk Street in Cambridge, where the Tsarnaev brothers reportedly lived and possibly lived or had some contact with for as much as a decade, that there were also reports of a woman and a three-year-old child there. Again, unconfirmed if that's connected to this particular report here.
Just one more thing to note, John. What was interesting, the woman told me she never heard Tamerlan talk about foreign policy or talk about religion. It was just, you know, they went out to bars together. So it wasn't clear at all to her that he had any kind of political leanings or anger in that way.
And again, curious pieces to a puzzle. They don't quite fit, but yet they're all a part of our attempt to struggle to explain what might have happened to these young men in the United States for as long as a decade. Tamerlan no longer with us. Anna Sale, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We talked earlier to Larry Aronson, a retired social studies teacher who had contact with Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, who is still at large. You're listening to special coverage of the events unfolding in Boston. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.